Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Ever imagined creating your own ice cream flavor? What would it be? Creamy caramel or maybe simple vanilla? What would you add? Ribbons of raspberry jam? Crunchy pecans, dark chocolate, truffles, how about all three? Designing an ice cream flavor requires both balance and a sweet tooth. Marketing that flavor requires a whole other set of skills. Take coffee, for example. That flavor would most likely appeal to adults, while bubblegum or cotton candy confections are more kid-friendly options. This is the kind of inside scoop Harford County High School students learn when they take part in something called Ice Cream University at TIC Gums in White Marsh. And joining me to tell us more about the making and marketing of ice cream is Tim Anden, Business Development Manager for TIC Gums, which manufactures ingredients that improve the texture and stability of foods for the food and beverage industry. Tim Anden, welcome to On the Record.
Thanks, Sheila. It's good to be here.
Ice Cream University is run in association with Cornell University and based on their Food Science 101 course. Tell us about Ice Cream University.
Yeah, so as a Cornell University food science graduate myself, all of the freshmen that attend the program there basically are given an introductory course in food science that walks them through the commercialization of an ice cream flavor. It's meant to just be a really nice teaser for freshmen who often are taking chemistry courses, biology courses, a lot of prerequisites, but this serves as an entree into some of the more exciting parts of product development for those students.
So that's the 101 course at Cornell, but now you've taken that somehow and made it into a kind of weekend spring learning experience for high school kids from Harford County. Tell us about that.
Exactly. So we really trying to pare down and get a lot of the most important parts of that class. Obviously, it's an entire semester taught at the college level, but we really tried to pare that down and translate it into a 5-weekend session for high school students to really try to increase their interest in food science as a potential field of study. Even when I was at Cornell, which has one of the highest ranked food science programs in the nation, I would tell people, oh, I'm a food scientist. And a lot of kids at the university wouldn't even know that we had that. You know, they think you're a nutritionist or a dietitian or something like this. But really, it's everything that is in between the process of food that comes from a farm and how it gets to our tables.
So that's a lot of boiling down to do into 5 weekends. How do you start Ice Cream University?
So it is a challenge, but really we're trying to give students a taste of entrepreneurialism, a taste of really how to go about not only designing a really good ice cream flavor, but also how you go about marketing that. One of the things that we found, we've now been in our 5th year of the class, was that a lot of these high school students maybe haven't necessarily had the opportunity to present in front of not only adults, but their peers and industry experts. We have professors that come down from Cornell and teach a class about how their actual dairy manufacturing plant is run, and you know, we'll teach them about these kinds of things. But you know, it's really an opportunity for the kids to follow an idea from its creation stage. You know, every week they're trying out new flavors at the end of the class, experimenting with different combinations, how much flavor they need to put into the specific ice cream that they're making. And then they go through and try to develop a marketing plan, very much like you said in the beginning of the show, where if they're going to be making some sort of bubblegum style flavor, well, their marketing plan really needs to be targeted towards kids or it's not going to make any sense. And so, you know, we really try to teach kids a lot about that idea creation process and then how to go about pitching that to a larger audience, very much like a Shark Tank for ice cream.
What do students learn about items added in to ice cream, like candy, chocolate, fruit? Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the more enlightening parts of the class is I think a lot of people just think that you can take, you know, normal nuts or inclusions, you know, is the technical term, and you can just kind of put them into frozen ice creams and eat them. But a lot of these ingredients have been specifically designed in order to function well and not break any teeth at those really low temperatures. So we talked to them about freezing point depression and how that works to make things, you know, like chewy caramel that you'll sometimes see in ice cream, to actually make it chewy and not rock solid.
Huh. And what about preventing freezer burn?
So that's actually one of the things that the ingredients that TIC Gum supplies will actually help to control and to address. Obviously, nobody's going to describe ice cream that they like as being gritty or grainy or, you know, having freezer burn. And so things like gums, they come from natural sources like seeds or tree saps. They help to bind up that extra water that would otherwise show up in freezer burn if it's left in a freezer for too long.
You talked about students being exposed to professors who can walk them through a marketing campaign. Part of Ice Cream University is competition. The kids form teams, design their own flavor, and then present that idea to judges.
Definitely. You know, usually there's anywhere between four or five teams that we've had, just depending on the specific number of students that we've had in the class. But yeah, it's very much a friendly competition because at the end, the winning flavor is actually then produced at Broom's Bloom Dairy up in Harford County so that students not only get to, you know, have the enjoyment of having one of the things that I think is actually a lot of fun for both parents and students is actually going to a real creamery and seeing their actual ice cream flavor be produced, being able to taste it, and, you know, brag to all their friends and family members that this was something that they actually designed.
I assume there are more kids wanting to attend Ice Cream University than you have spots for. How does someone qualify for Ice Cream University?
So the criteria that we've used is really just, you know, we're looking for students from Harford County. We ask for them to maintain at least a 3.0 GPA, but really it's just first come, first serve after that. You know, we're trying to get a good mix of not only science, but business students as well, to really try to teach the students that, you know, working in teams, you know, was one of the things we talked about before, but working in teams is something that's really a lifelong skill. And, you know, people are going to have different strengths and weaknesses. Oftentimes the teams that get along the best and have the most diverse group of students amongst them, you know, some folks that are interested in science, some that are maybe interested in culinary, some that are interested in business. Those kinds of teams, because they're diverse, tend to come up with more creative solutions.
That's Tim Enden, Business Development Manager for TIC Gums, here on the record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're speaking about TIC Gums' Ice Cream University program for Harford County high school students. And I want to bring somebody else into the conversation, Whitney LaRoche, a rising senior at Cornell University's food science program. She participated in Ice Cream University when she was a junior at Bel Air High School. Welcome, Whitney.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Whitney, what did you learn at Ice Cream University?
Well, I learned all the things that Tim was saying. We learned about inclusions, we learned about flavoring, formulation, we learned about product development and the marketing side of it.
What did you fall in love with?
Oh, I fell in love with ice cream formulation. Food science just encompasses a whole bunch of things that you just didn't know about, different careers.
Had you been thinking about food science even before Ice Cream University?
I definitely did not even know food science existed until Ice Cream University.
What flavor did your team develop?
We developed Graham Canyon, like Grand Canyon, but Graham Canyon.
So like Graham cracker.
Yes, correct.
Tell us about this flavor.
So it was a Graham cracker base, and then it was vanilla ice cream on top, flavored with marshmallow.
And what did the judges think about it?
They loved it. I believe we came in second or third.
Yeah, it was a very close contest that year. And I will say that they came up with one of the best names. And this is one of the things that we talk to the kids about is really naming the product something that's memorable.
You're starting your last year at Cornell.
Yes, right? I am.
In the food science program.
Yes.
There. What type of career do you have in mind?
So I'm thinking about broadening food science into either media or I'm going to enter the food law industry. Not sure yet, but I'm definitely exploring both pathways.
When you say media, what do you have in mind?
So actually, my friend and I are going to participate in Cornell's radio station and come up with our own food critic talk show.
Cool. Food radio. So it's easy to think about the things that the elements that we might like about the taste of ice cream. If we don't particularly like the flavor, what might be behind that?
So that's a really good question. And one of the things that we talk a lot about, you know, being a company that says that, you know, our main mission is to work on texture and stability of products. Oftentimes when people talk about not liking the taste of something, really a lot of it has to do with the actual textural component. If you think about one of the best examples that I use for folks is think about something like vegetables, you know, either broccoli or carrots. There's a lot of people that will not eat it if it's cooked, but love it when it's raw, or vice versa. And really, that's just a textural difference. That isn't really a flavor. The broccoli still tastes like broccoli at the end of the day. And that's one of the things that when people talk a lot about taste, a lot of times, really, if you ask them kind of some follow-up questions, they'll start talking about the texture. And yogurt, I think, is another good example to talk about, because there's so many different textures of yogurts out there, whether you're talking about Greek yogurt, whether you're talking about whipped yogurt, light yogurt, full body yogurt. Really, a lot of the differences in those specific products is textural related, and that's really where a lot of our materials shine in terms of giving food producers the ability to customize a texture to what is really actually going to drive consumer liking, as opposed to, you know, simply changing the specific kind of strawberry that they might use in a yogurt.
I would think the way it looks is part of it, too.
You know, you really are hitting on one of the next things that I was going to talk about. One of the more fun exercises that we take the high school kids through is really showing them how important the visual aspect of food is. And I think a lot of people are familiar with this based on nothing else than, you know, folks taking pictures of their Instagram pictures of their food and posting to Instagram, or even something like Top Chef, where you're just looking at the food. You're never even tasting it. But people, they eat with their eyes first. And so one of the exercises that we take the kids through is we show them some clear liquids, and we've added some flavors to them. And we take them through this whole process and ask them, you know, what is it that that it tastes like? And the liquids, they have different colors in them. So there's a red, there's a yellow, there's a blue, there's a purple. And really at the end of it, you know, we ask them, okay, what does the blue one taste like? And everyone says blueberries. What's the red one taste like? Everyone says strawberries. What's the yellow one? Banana. And we flavor them basically with the same citrus mix. So it's meant to just show people that if you see a certain color, your mind trusts your eyes before it trusts your tongue. And it will tell you basically what it is that you should be tasting over what you know might be true from your tongue.
Yeah, it was actually an amazing experiment, because we were actually fooled. We thought, oh, this color was, the red was a cherry. But I mean, in actuality, it was whatever flavor it was before.
Yeah, and it's something that, that really happens to all sorts of consumers, because I very, very, very much stole that specific experiment from a sensory analysis class that I took in college, and the professor did the exact same thing to us, and we were kind of dumbstruck that, you know, your eyes really have such a strong, strong impact on how you're going to perceive flavors.
When people go to the grocery store today, what should they look for if they want to take home the best ice cream?
So any ice cream that is freshly made is always going to be the best. I tell people you're never going to get ice cream that tastes any better than when it's really right coming off the machinery. If you've ever had a tour of you know, Ben and Jerry's, they'll actually give you ice cream that's really fresh right there from the plant. Anything that hasn't gone through a really large distribution channel where it's going to have a bunch of freeze-thaw cycles where, you know, it comes from the plant, it sits on a dock before it gets put into a freezer at a grocery store. So really, I would stress finding those good local creameries, and there's many here in the Maryland area. You know, find those guys, find where their products are, and almost always those ice creams are going to be far superior to a lot of the nationally recognized brands.
So fresh is real important.
Of course.
What trends do you see in the freezer aisles or in small ice cream stores?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really different trends in the ice cream industry right now, whether it's people going to gelato, trying to get a much more indulgent experience that way, or if they're going in the direction of Halo Top, that is really coming out with a low-calorie ice cream that has a lot of the same textural attributes that regular calorie ice cream has. So, you know, there's really been a lot of diversity in the food industry and in ice cream specifically, trying to meet a lot of different consumer demands, whether it's for clean label or whether it's for other associated health concerns like non-dairy ice creams. There's been a huge resurgence in non-dairy ice creams that, you know, there's been a lot of actually good non-dairy ice creams out there that, you know, we've worked with a lot of these companies, and it'll blow you away to taste some of these. You'd never even know if someone didn't tell you that it wasn't dairy.
I'm not familiar with non-dairy ice creams. What are they made of?
So a lot of times they'll use different kinds of nuts as the milk source. One of my personal favorites is the ones that are based on cashews. Cashews have a high fat content, and so they lend themselves very well to performing similarly to traditional dairy fat ice creams. So really, those products are some of my personal favorites, and I have maybe a little bit of a personal story about it. When my wife was pregnant, she was having some reactions to dairy foods, and so we had to kind of try to find out some alternative for her. And we actually ended up finding a specific kind of cashew ice cream that, if I didn't tell you, you would never know that it wasn't non-dairy.
So, Whitney, this is the kind of thing you intend to cover in your podcast?
Of course. I mean, I knew a little bit of the cashew ice cream, but yeah.
Well, I wish you luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I appreciate your telling us about Ice Cream University. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila. Really appreciate your time.
Tim Anden is Business Development Manager for TIC Gums in White Marsh. Whitney LaRoche participated in TIC Gums Ice Cream University program while in high school. She's a rising senior in Cornell University's Food Science program. We're on the record. I'm Sheila Cass. Quick break now, and then a Stoop story.
Your love is better than ice cream.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.